As we come forward into the Word, as we reach forward into what you have laid out, this is your message, Father. Let it be strengthening unto us. Let it be a quickening unto our heart. And let us know and glean from it that we may be stronger in the Word, stronger in the walk, and more able to show Christ to the world. Set aside our labors. Take away the things which assail us right now, the doubt, the fears, the wonderings, and put us in your care, in your grasp, as we seek out this message from you, Father, not my words. In Jesus' holy, precious name, and all of his children said loudly, Amen. Amen. I have a lot of fun with being a pastor. I won't deny it. There's a lot of work to it. You know, when I made a comment years ago, and this was years ago, I don't even know if I had my driver's license yet. Dad and I were running off a load of hay, and we were on our way back to get some more. And he said to me, he goes, what do you think you might do with your life? I said, well, looks like being a preacher's pretty easy. And he laughed. I said, what? You just get up there and talk. He said, boy, you've got to fill up before you can pour out. Those are strong words. And so as time progressed, I got away from the church, whatever. I came back. And right before I came here, I was asked a question. Are you ready for this? Sure. It's easy. Get up there, say a few words, pay attention, that's it. I wish right at that moment somebody would have had a hammer and popped me right there. Because yes, it is rewarding. Yes, it is full. No, it is not easy. Would I do anything any differently? Not on your life. And the people around me remind me to stay humble. They keep me on a corrected path. They teach me by just being themselves and letting me hear God speak through them. Recently, I was having a conversation with a woman who was sad. Her heart was broken. And she was lamenting to me about it. And we were talking, and I was at home. And I was listening to her. And I cannot take it when you're sad. I don't want you to be sad. So once you're done to a point, I want you to get back in a good mood. So I'm going to try to bring you back to happiness with whatever means necessary. And so I was sitting there in a chair and I was talking and I was listening and my heart was breaking. And I thought, man, I've got to get her some joy. And Wendy just happened to be walking by. And so I reached out and pinched her. And she squealed. And the woman on the phone said, what was that? I said, well, that was Wendy. She was just walking by, and I pinched her. And here, after I get off the phone with you, I'm going to go chase her around for a while. And the woman started laughing. She said, Paul, how in the world can you do that? I said, what? She goes, how can you make me laugh like that in the middle of all this? I said, well. See, she was upset because her and her husband were apart. They had never been apart in all of the time they were married. They vacationed together. They did everything together. I have no bounds for that. Because Wendy and I spend time apart all the time. Sometimes back in the day, she used to go down the Eastern Shore and see family. And I would stay at home. But this woman had never, ever been apart from her husband. And she loved him. And they've been married for quite a number of years. And now her husband is fighting his way in and out of hospitals. And so at this particular time, he's in the hospital. She's at home talking to me about it. And she goes, I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. And then she said words which stopped me right in my tracks. Because I was feeling pretty good. She said, Paul, I advise you, never let go. Wow. Never let go. Those words went right in, and they locked in, and they stayed in my head, and they began to form, and I began to think, what did she just tell me? Granted, she wanted to tell me, never let go of the love I have for my wife, which there's no doubt about it. I'll tell anybody. I'm married so far over my head, it ain't funny. I'll tell you straight up, she's the smart one in our bunch. I don't know what in the world possessed her to take that walk down the aisle with me, but that's the truth. But it's more than just that. It's never let go. What does that mean? Never let go of life? Well, that's easy enough. Never let go of friends and family? Yeah, that makes sense. But there's more to it than that. In the words, never let go, I heard our Savior talking to me, to tell you, never let go of me. Never let go. Never, ever doubt. Never think for a moment that I'm not there. Never, ever, ever let go. Lord Cromwell, Oliver Cromwell, who in the 17th century became known as, and I want this title. Let me see how this sounds. Lord Protector and Defender of the Faith. Man, you all are a hard bunch today. You know that? You think Wendy would call me that? Paul Letterman, Lord Protector and Defender of the Faith. Yeah. But that's what Oliver Cromwell became. Oliver Cromwell became Lord Defender and Protector of the Faith of England, and he was not a nice guy. He was a dictator, pure and simple. If you disagreed with him, that was it. If he thought you did anything wrong, that was it. And he was known for that. He broke up Parliament. He usurped the king. He became so powerful that he actually almost took the Catholic Church out of England. The Protestants were scared to death of him. But Lord Cromwell, Oliver Cromwell, sentenced a soldier to be shot for his crimes. Who knows what they were? They could have been taking too much bread or who knows what. But he sentenced him in the 17th century to be shot for his crimes. Now, in those days, executions took place at curfew. And curfew was a serious business in England. When the bells rang at curfew time in the evening, you better be where you're supposed to be or else. You understand me? And so the execution was to take place at the ringing of the evening curfew bell. And at that night, everybody started to listen. And the bell didn't ring. And they waited, and they waited. And our Lord Cromwell sat, and he listened for the bell, and the bell didn't ring, and he waited. And finally, he dispatched someone to go see what had happened, why the bell did not sound. And they climbed up in there, and they found the bell ringer, and they said, are you pulling the rope? He says, I'm pulling the rope, and nothing's happening. And they climbed up in the tower where the great large bell was that would ring out curfew. And they got inside, and they found the soldier's fiance had wrapped herself to the clapper of that bell so that it would not sound. And she had been bruised and beaten up as they tried to ring the bell. And so they took her off the clapper of this bell and they hauled her down and they carried her to Lord Cromwell. They put her in front of him. And she wept. And he looked at her as she bled and as she was bruised. And she said, my soldier, my fiancé, I love him so greatly that I could not let go to see him die. And Lord Cromwell, protector of the faith, defender of whatever, was so moved. He said, because of your sacrifice, the curfew bell shall not sound tonight. He shall not die. You never let go. You never let go. I let go. For a while, I let go. It was my nature. It was probably part of my journey. I don't know. But I let go of Christ. Raised up in Him. Let go. Anybody in here ever let go of Him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Christ says, don't. And yet we do. C.S. Lewis had a great thing to say about the love of God. It is safer for us to dwell on the love that God has for us than to dwell on the love that we have for God. That's a pretty heavy statement. Because too often we want to let go. We get mad, we get lost, we get confused. Things are not going the way you want them to in your life. And the first thing you want to do is start blaming everybody. Sometimes it is what it is. And sometimes you're the blame. I love working on tractors. Let's make no mistake about it. There is nothing in the world for me greater than being covered in grease in bib overhauls. And here several years back, now I happen to consider myself a tractor fixing expert because I've done a lot. And here several years ago, I'm out mowing the grass. Got done mowing the grass. I've got an old Cub Cadet riding mower that still uses breaker points. Beep, 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 beep. I got done mowing the grass and I left the switch on. Does anybody in here know what happens when you leave the switch on? Yeah, burn the points up. I went down a couple days later, tried to start the mower up because I had to get it out of the way. It wouldn't start. I was like, what in the world's wrong with it? I checked a few things. I checked the spark. It never occurred to me that I left the switch on. Well, I had determined that the points had went bad. It wasn't my fault. So I went down to the store, picked up points in a condenser, went back home. Put the tractor in the shop, turned the bluegrass on full blast, set about putting points in my tractor. This is something I have done since I was my boy's age, changing points out. It's a simple process. Pull one screw, pull points out, put a new condenser in, put the screw back in, gap the points, put the cover on, go to work. Simple. I got to the point where it's time to put the little gapping tool in there, and the tool's made out of steel, and you make sure the reason you put it in there is so that the points have the right gap to make the spark, right? And I took the steel tool, and I'm listening to the bluegrass, and I'll fly away, and I reach in there. Oh, man! What in the world did I just do wrong? I looked around. I said, man, I must have shorted something. Get a tool and reach back in there. Alright, I must be grounding myself somewhere. So I pull the hood off the tractor and I start looking around at all my wires. Everything looks alright. I got mad because I didn't change the condenser. I said, well, the condenser must have been bad. I pulled everything back apart. I put the condenser in it, put everything back there. It's try number four. And I reached up and stuck that thing in there and and I'm like, what in the world is wrong with this thing? And you're right. In a moment, my brain said, oh, turned the key off, gapped the points, went and mowed the grass. Of course, first thing I did when I did that was, did anybody see that? My fault. But we want to blame everything. Four tries. Knowing full good and well what I know, after four tries, I'm still blaming everything. Instead of looking for the simplest problem. And oftentimes the simplest thing is, we let go. We should never let go. We should never let go. In the scripture, Jesus says, I won't let go. Go back to it for a minute. In verse 35, now you see, I've got to set this up because, and I advise you to go back and read all of John 6. He just got done feeding everybody, and they ate, and they found him on the other side of the river, the lake, whatever. And they said, hey, what's going on? And he said, you don't believe me because of who I say I am. You believe me not because of the signs you have seen me do. You believe me because I have fed you. And they wanted to know more. Jesus starts off by saying, I am not, if it's your Bible, underline that. It's not I might be, it's not I could be, it's not I'm supposed to be, it's I am. I am the bread of life. If you want to get yourself situated to never let go of Christ, remember, Christ never said think, thought, could, would, or maybe. He said definitely, I am the Son of God. And if this world today, if anybody in this world today tells you that Jesus is not the only way to heaven, walk away. Don't do what I do. I engage them. And I get in trouble. And I get things written about me in my annual review like, likes to debate too heavily, is a traditionalist to the point of almost a fundamentalist, debates sometimes to the point of becoming confrontational. Me? I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Listen to these lines. I want you to listen to them. Put in your mind, never let go. I want you to listen to what he says. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. Stop right there. Let's think about that for a minute. Does anybody in this room right now not know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? Raise your hands. Let me ask this question again. How many people in their lifetime have let go of the hand of Christ? We're all guilty of it. We can see it and we still don't believe. We know it's real and sometimes we don't believe because sometimes it's not the easiest thing. It's hard. I know that. He goes on to write. This is the great verse in 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. That's beautiful. Underline that. And whoever comes to me, you ready? I will never drive away. Want your translation? Never let go. That's what Christ says to us. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me. Wow. You ought to read that verse every morning. You ought to know that one by heart. You ought to know that in that moment, in this cornerstone of the gospel, in the book of John, in the sixth chapter, in amongst those verses, Jesus has said, I will never lose those who come to me. I will never let go. And then he goes on to say, don't you let go of me. For my Father's will, has given me, but raised them up at that last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up at that last day. Second coming. Woo, baby! I love that set of verses. When I read them, I read them and I reread them and I read them and I reread them because right there Jesus is saying, I will never let you go. If you have come to me, if you have fell down in front of me, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter how troubled you are with family, friends, work, your inner self, whatever it is, I will not let you go. I will not see you fall into despair. I will not see you be destroyed. And in the same tone, don't let go of me. Because of the gift I have given you. Never let go. In that moment, he explained love. Now, I know it's just a couple days past old Valentine's Day, and I get a lot of grief at work because we don't celebrate Valentine's Day, really. Oh, I suppose if she brought me home a box of candy, I would eat it. We celebrate our love as much as we can all the time. Valentine's Day is just one of them days. Although this year I did bring her home some strawberries because she likes strawberries dipped in chocolate. And I thought that was pretty nice. And one year for Valentine's Day, I gave her two things. I gave her a motorcycle tire and a machete. She needed a tire for the motorcycle, and we needed a machete to clean up the garden path. Problem solved. People at work don't understand that. You don't take one day and you just dwell on love. Jesus Christ said, this is what love is. You understand me? That I will never let go of you. That I will never lose you. You are mine. My Father sent me down here to gather you unto me, to hold you close to me, and to take you with me on that last day. I will never, ever, 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 ever let go of you. Even when you let go of me, I will still hold on to you. And in the next moment, inasmuch he says, don't let go of me. And really, why would you? I've done it. I'm still doing it every now and then. I still forget. But we don't need to. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, talking about the treasures in the jars of clay, talks about Christ in this moment. Verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Verse 8, this is the verse. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. That's pretty good stuff, ain't it? Everything that's going on to you right now, and there's a lot. Everything will not destroy you because he will never lose you. He will never let go. He who crawled up on that tree and died right there. You know, he could have let go of that at any time. You go back and read John. You go back and read in the garden. You go back and read when Jesus was praying. Jesus was scared. He was troubled. Don't let anybody tell you any differently. It says right there, Father, I would pray that this cup would pass from me, but it's not my will, it's yours, and so I will do it. And I will not let go. I will not let go of the will that you have given me, and I will not lose those whom you have given me. And brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ in that moment is teaching us never to let go of him, never to let go of those around us, never to let go of any moment that we could have to tell someone, I love you. Be it a friend, be it a family, be it a husband, a wife, a child, because he does us. For an idiot like me, and I can say that because I'm talking about me, he loves me. I love him. And I love each and every one of you. Period. And there is nothing that can be done to take away that feeling. And so we will never let go. As we approach the world today, that's the attitude we need to take with us. As we approach the things around us that would try to rip that grip away, we need to approach this. As we approach the next 5 hours, tell someone you love them. Just straight out, just take them right off guard. And I promise you, you'll feel that grip holding you ever closer to the one who died for us and who has promised to never let go. You may be wondering about the woman at the front end of this. That was Karina. In her moments, in her wisdom, she said, never let go. Now, hopefully she'll hear this sermon and she'll get a little embarrassed, but that's okay. Because all of you have given me sermon fodder at one time or another and will continue to. But in those moments, she said, never let go. And it took me right to here and back out. And so to you, never let go. Amen? Let us pray. Father, as we have worked and labored for you, and we'll continue to do so, Father, Let us be mindful and stay in sight of the fact that you have said right there, you will never lose us. You'll never leave us. You'll never harm us. We will be pushed but not crushed. We will be desperate but not despair. We will not be destroyed because you will never lose us. There is nothing on this earth, there is nothing in this world right now that can take us away from the last day when you take us home. Because we believe in you. And so with this lesson buried so deep within us now, let us take it out. Let us push it forward out into the world, and that we would never let go of the ones around us, the ones that we love. Let us always remember that those three words change hearts. I love you. I'll never let you go. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus. It's His blessings that keep us tight. If you have that particular need, the prayer bench is open. If you need me to pray with you, let me know. As we prepare for this last hymn, if you need that strengthening, come forward.
Please stand and turn to page 491.